Welcome to Ed Leader with your host, Dr. Rob Jackson. Join Dr. Jackson for conversations and reflections on improving educational leadership from the classroom to the boardroom and beyond. Educational leadership is an ever-evolving opportunity to make a real and lasting difference in the lives of students, parents, and the community. And now, here's your host, Dr. Rob Jackson.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Ed Leader podcast and the 10th episode in the special series on the science of reading, What Every Ed Leader Should Know. I'm your host, Rob Jackson, and I want to thank you for spending time with me today. If you have not, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast on your podcast player and share it with your network of colleagues and friends. Remember, you can find show notes, links to references that are cited during each episode, and find each of the previous regular episodes and the three special series, including this one, that we have done at drrobjackson.com. Thank you for your support of this special series on the science of reading. The episodes in this series are interspersed between regular Ed Leader episodes. If you'd like to find direct links to the episodes in this series, take a look at drrobjackson.com, where you'll find a direct link to the series on the menu on the left side of the page. It's hard for me to believe that with this episode, we have reached the final strand in Scarborough's reading rope. I envision a wrap-up episode or two, but certainly hope that you have found this series informative and helpful. If you've been listening to this series, then you know that I set a personal goal to dig into and break down each of the elements of reading comprehension. I've done my best to peel back the rhetoric and get to the heart of what Ed leaders need to know about the science of reading. Speaking of doing my best and getting to the heart of it, let's get to it. In the first episode of this series, I spent time introducing the science of reading. If you've not listened to that episode, I'd like to encourage you to spend a few moments with it as it grounds the series and undergirds the deconstruction of reading comprehension that I'm attempting. If you're looking for that episode, it's episode 69 on the Ed Leader playlist. Previous episodes in the Science of Reading series have focused on the strands of fluency, background knowledge, sight word recognition, verbal reasoning, literacy knowledge, decoding, language structures, and phonological awareness. With this episode, we finish deconstructing the reading rope. Today, I'm pulling out the final strand, the strand of vocabulary. Before focusing on this episode's topic, let's reflect on the foundation for this series. The science of reading is undergirded by theories of how students learn to read and comprehend text. At the very basic level is the simple view of reading theory, which states that there are two elements that combine to result in reading comprehension. The simple view of reading formula states that decoding times language comprehension equals reading comprehension. From this grew Scarborough's reading rope as conceived by Dr. Hollis S. Scarborough. Dr. Scarborough believed that the elements of word recognition and the elements of language comprehension all weave together into the rope of reading comprehension. Just like a true rope, the more strands present and the stronger each strand is, the stronger the rope is. The strands of word recognition include decoding, phonological awareness, and sight word recognition. The strands of language comprehension include background knowledge, vocabulary, language structures, verbal reasoning, and literacy knowledge. In this podcast series, my goal is to pull apart the individual strands of reading comprehension and build our shared understanding of what Ed leaders need to know about learning to read. So, metaphorically, we grab Scarborough's reading rope, and we separate the strands of word recognition and language comprehension. Within the language comprehension strands, we find the strand that is the topic for today's episode, vocabulary. It's not lost on me that when we hear the names of some of the reading rope strands, we may think that we know exactly what the strand entails. Today's strand, vocabulary, is just like that. I'm sure that just about every student who has ever attended school or sought to learn from a teacher has had to learn vocabulary. For me, this brings up memories of flashcards made with index cards and markers, and endless hours sitting on my bed quizzing myself on the meanings written on the back of each card. How about you? Do you recall staring at the ceiling while grasping a flashcard, desperately trying to pull the elusive memory from the air? Hannah Dieter and Tanisha Washington, writing on the Great Minds blog, said that, quote, in Scarborough's Reading Rope, the vocabulary strand refers to the quantity and quality of a student's known words. To comprehend challenging texts, students need a wealth of vocabulary knowledge. It makes sense to me that when students know more words, they can comprehend more. On the previous episode on background knowledge, I said children with less background knowledge were not able to comprehend the text at the same levels as students with more background knowledge. This is equally true of vocabulary. Children with less vocabulary knowledge, i.e., those who knew fewer words, were not able to comprehend the text at the same levels as students with more vocabulary knowledge, or those who simply knew more words. I really like the way that the Brain Trust Tutors website explains the importance of vocabulary as a strand in Scarborough's Reading Rope. They eloquently state, vocabulary is an undervalued asset. The richer a person's vocabulary, the richer his or her thinking. We will only be able to communicate what our vocabulary allows. Therefore, if our vocabulary is limited, our communication will be limited as well. Gaps in knowledge, whether referred to as achievement gaps or opportunity gaps, tend to continue throughout a student's educational journey. This does not have to be the case for vocabulary. Dr. E.D. Hirsch, Jr., a professor emeritus of humanities at the University of Virginia, states that, quote, vocabulary is a plant of slow growth. When educators intentionally support the growth of vocabulary knowledge through the use of a high-quality curriculum, they are planting seeds that can close the gap between students. Professors Cunningham and Stanovich have shared three research-based ways teachers can increase students' vocabulary knowledge. Number one, use conceptually coherent text sets. A conceptually coherent text set is a group of texts that are sequenced to build students' understanding of the deeply related knowledge and concept within the text. Number two, focus on volume of reading. Volume of reading refers to the amount, quality, and frequency of students' reading, including classroom text and independent reading selections. Cunningham and Stanovich draw the conclusion from several of their own studies that once students learn to read, the act of reading is the quickest way to learn new vocabulary because words used in written text are rarer and more specific than words used in spoken language. Engaging students in frequent reading implicitly grows their word knowledge. I'll pause here to highlight an Ed Leader two-episode conversation I had with Stephanie Harvey and Annie Ward on volume of reading as a strategy. If you're looking for those episodes, they're episodes 66 and 67 on the Ed Leader playlist, and I would certainly highlight those to you as being worth the time listening to Stephanie Harvey and Annie Ward. The third research-based way teachers can increase students' vocabulary knowledge is through conducting direct instruction. Providing knowledge-building text and reading instruction offers a base for developing students' word knowledge. Perhaps it goes without saying, even though I'm saying it now, that the more words a student knows, the better they'll be able to engage in conversation with others as they will know what the words they hear mean. The word lexicon is a fancy word that I learned in my undergraduate work. The Oxford Dictionary defines lexicon as the vocabulary of a person, language, or branch of knowledge. I learned about lexicons as we discussed how the language we use in various situations changes depending on the context. The words I use around my buddies while watching a ball game, keep pounding, go Panthers, is different than the language I use at work. Now, I'm not referring to adult words or cursing, though those are certainly examples. I'm really talking about the formality of the language I use. We deploy a different lexicon in different situations. Pulling that back to today's topic, imagine the student who grows up in an impoverished household where fewer words are used and the vocabulary is limited. Without careful, intentional vocabulary instruction, that student might be limited in potential future opportunities if they lack the words to access a professional conversation. An increased vocabulary allows students to access more text. If we're deciding if a book is right for a student based on how many words the student struggles with, then the more words a student knows means the more books they'll be able to read. The more they read, the stronger their comprehension skills grow. It's also true that students with a larger vocabulary are better able to express themselves. More words in my internal word bank gives me more choices in what I say, allowing me to more exactly say or write what it is that I am thinking. As I read on Brain Trust, a broader vocabulary almost always translates invariably to a more effective manner of communicating. Building vocabulary knowledge is important to help students be better communicators, help them access more text, and increase their own expressiveness. Recently, one of our district's 45 principals, Brad Johnson, principal of West Buncombe Elementary School, was presenting to all of our elementary and intermediate principals on how his school had had such great academic growth on last year's state assessments. One of the specific strategies he discussed was explicit vocabulary instruction. He shared that the school has a word of the day that is shared in the morning on the announcements with all students and staff. Teachers in each classroom then teach the word to students with the goal that each student will correctly use the word in speech and/or their writing at least 5 times a day. Throughout the day, students are asked in hallways, in the lunchroom, and at recess about the word of the day. Imagine students waiting in line in the hallway when the principal walks by and asks them what the word of the day is as they're being greeted. A hello in the hallway becomes a teaching and learning moment as explicit vocabulary instruction occurs in this quick exchange. This practice is simple and yet very powerful. Dr. Robert Marzano, author of The Art and Science of Teaching, is one of the most well-known educational researchers in the United States. He developed a 6-step process for teaching academic vocabulary. Number 1, provide a description, explanation, or example of the new term. For students who are not native English speakers, a non-linguistic representation of the term should be included, like a photograph or a picture or a graphic. Number 2, ask students to restate the description, explanation, or example in their own words. Students whose primary existing knowledge base is still in their native language should be allowed to write the description in their native language. Number 3, ask students to construct a picture, a symbol, or graphic representing the word. Number 4, engage students periodically in activities that help them add to their knowledge of the terms in their notebooks, their vocabulary notebooks. Number 5, periodically ask students to discuss the terms with one another. Allow in native language when appropriate for students who are not native English speakers. And finally, number 6, involve students periodically in games that allow them to play with the terms. Dr. Marzano wrote about this 6-step process for ASCD, the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. The heading for his description is, "They Won't Forget the Crocodile's Teeth." Now, I won't forget that heading. He wrote in the article, "Teachers use the first 3 steps when introducing a term to students." For example, assume a teacher is introducing the term mutualism. Instead of offering a textbook definition, the teacher describes the term or tells an anecdote that illustrates its meaning, which is step 1. The teacher might explain that the crocodile and a bird called the Egyptian plover have a relationship that exemplifies mutualism. The crocodile opens its mouth and invites the plover to stand inside. The plover picks things out of the crocodile's teeth. Both parties benefit. The plover gets fed, the croc gets its teeth cleaned. While explaining this relationship, the teacher might show images found on the internet of this happening. The students aren't going to forget the bird cleaning the crocodile's teeth. He then goes on to describe how the students discuss the word mutualism in their own words, giving their own examples and drawing a picture to illustrate the concept, and goes on to describe how the students and teachers work through step 4 through 6. In over 50 research studies on this method at the time of his writing, Dr. Marzano found that these studies have taught us several things about this 6-step strategy. First, the strategy works at every grade level from kindergarten to high school. And second, he says, it works better if you use all of the steps without leaving any out. He ends the article stating, quote, "It is safe to conclude that it can be a powerful tool that teachers can use in classrooms at any grade level and in any subject area." Now, that's a powerful statement from one of our foremost educational researchers. So, for a quick review of the 6-step process, the teacher provides a description, explanation, or example of the term. The students give a linguistic definition where they restate the description, explanation, or example in their own words. The students then create a non-linguistic definition by constructing a picture, a pictograph, a symbolic representation, or by acting out the word. In the 4th step, the teacher extends and refines understanding of the word by engaging students in activities that help them add to their knowledge of the terms in their vocabulary notebooks. Through the coming days, the teacher periodically asks students to discuss the terms with one another. Finally, students engage in games that enable them to play with the terms and reinforce word knowledge. As Dieter and Washington have shared, vocabulary instruction grounded in knowledge-rich, coherent text sets and volume of reading has the potential to close significant gaps between students who enter school with varying word wealth. When this instruction begins in kindergarten and continues to build throughout students' education, the slow-growing plant of vocabulary becomes repeatedly fortified. Educators must plant the seeds of vocabulary instruction as early as possible and then care for the steady growth over time of vocabulary knowledge by using a coherent knowledge-building curriculum. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together. Thank you again for hanging out with me as we have now pulled apart all of the strands of Scarborough's reading rope to understand what ed leaders need to know about the science of reading. Please keep sharing your feedback. You can find me on Twitter at Dr._Rob_Jackson or through the show notes page on www.drrobjackson.com. I'm interested in your thoughts. Please let me know what you think. And if you think this has been helpful, please share the episode and podcast with your network of friends and colleagues. If you would, don't forget those written reviews on your podcast player. They are really helpful. Your written reviews on your favorite podcast player, no matter how short, are much appreciated. If you're finding value in the podcast, please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review. It's really helpful in growing the podcast and in creating connections with the national and international educational leaders you'd like to hear from. Thank you for spending time with me today, and thank you for all that you do for every student, every teacher, and every staff member. You are making a difference. If no one else has told you, I want you to know that I believe in you. Good day.
Thank you for listening to the Ed Leader Podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast and consider leaving a review with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts so that we may continue to grow the Ed Leader community. We hope that you have enjoyed your time with Dr. Jackson. Until next time. Thank you.